mysteries into Kurt's ears there. Are we good? All right, we want to welcome everybody to our live stream from Grace Life Bible Church. Whether you're joining us right now on YouTube or Facebook, we appreciate you joining in. There's a couple things I need to share with you before we really get started, and we still have some folks getting situated. As you know, we had a Bible conference last week, and we received a nice note in the mail from the Bedells in Tennessee. The Bedells have been real supportive saints, both of me personally and of the church, and they sent this nice note. They say, "Hi, Brian. We enjoyed watching all of the messages during the conference. So thankful for the internet. Hope this check helps to cover some of the expenses. Love in Christ, Jim and Chris." We have a few more little notes like this that we got in the weeks leading up to the conference, and we're in the process of sending out some thank you notes and stuff, so I actually don't have those with me this Sunday. I'm going to try and remember to bring those to read. It's great, though, to have the support of people that don't attend here in person and that see the value in the work of the ministry and are willing to support it. Can you guys make sure that my tablet is up for the moment? I want to talk about something just real quick. So for those of you that don't know, from 2010 to 2015 in the adult Sunday school class, I did something called the Grace History Project, where we went through all of church history from the point of view of the word rightly divided, okay? And Norm Price, how many of you guys remember the Prices? Norm and Beverly? In those days, I didn't know anything about YouTube, and Norm was kind enough to film those and upload those to his own personal YouTube page. What's happening now is I am in the process of taking those, downloading those off of Norm's page, and then re-uploading them now to the church's YouTube page. And so what I'm going to do every week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 9, and I'm saying this for your benefit, all of you that are here right now, and for those that are watching online, I am going to re-premiere those on the church's YouTube page at 9 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. And I'm going to do that every week until all of them are on our YouTube page. So if you miss that information, if you want to get that information, if you're interested in that content, I'm going to re-premiere those on those mornings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 9 o'clock. They'll premiere with a chat window and all that stuff for people to have conversation and interact when that's happening. So that's just a general announcement. While we're on the topic of church history, if you don't know it, today marks the 504th anniversary, not of Halloween, but of when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, sparking the Reformation. And so I just couldn't help myself this morning. Here's a few memes for you. Coffee first reached Europe in 1515. Martin Luther sparked the Reformation in 1517. Beware of a caffeinated pastor. Okay, I like this one as well. Martin Luther posting rants long before Facebook. Okay. Here's another one. 95 theses, nailed it. Okay? Yep. I went viral before viral was cool. That's true, by the way. He did go viral because of the printing press. Within weeks, all of Germany had read the 95 theses because of that. And then I like the last one the best myself. I don't always nail things to doors, but when I do, stuff happens. Anyway, that's just a little joking around there at the beginning. And that does bring me to another announcement. In 2017, we had an entire conference here at the church marking the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And so all this material from analyzing the impact of history's greatest revival since Paul is on the church's website, and I would encourage you to check that out and get that information if you're interested in that. So that's a good way to spend your Halloween afternoon, is going through 8 studies on church history. But all that being said, let's get into the message this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about Colossians chapter 4. And I'm using the handheld. We're not messing around right now with the wireless mics until we can figure out what's going on. There was a little piece of information that was uncovered by a friend of ours in Canada that might be somewhat helpful as far as what might be happening. And if you want to know what that is, I'll say off camera because I don't want to say something about it publicly right now for various reasons that I would explain if you want to know. So now that I've created enough mystery about it, you're all going to want to know. But you'll forget by the end of the message. 2 weeks ago, we started talking about Colossians chapter 4, and we started, obviously, in verse 1, where Paul says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We pray as we get into this message this morning and we talk about prayer, that it will be profitable, that it will be edifying, that it will be encouraging, that it will build us up and encourage us in our lives with respect to prayer. We ask this morning in Christ's name. Amen. So if you look at chapter 4, when you get to verse 2 is a new paragraph. I mentioned briefly 2 weeks ago about some of the stuff that's said in commentaries about how chapter 4, verse 1 really should be at the end of chapter 3. And I just mentioned that to you. I'm not going to make a big point about it. But one of the reasons for that is when you come to chapter 4, verse 2, there seems to be a shift in the topic. He talks about masters and servants in verse 1, and then in verse 2, he brings up the issue of prayer. And when he brings up the issue of prayer in verse 2, he is starting a new paragraph that runs from verse 2 to the end of verse 4. And he says in verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So I want to talk today about the issue of prayer. So prayer is one of the subject matters that gets a lot of attention when you get into the issue of dispensationalism, into the issue of rightly dividing and understanding that Paul is your apostle, that you're not the nation of Israel, that you're part of the body of Christ. And there's a lot of stuff that's been said about prayer. And let me just be honest and upfront about it. I've said a lot of stuff about prayer that as I look back on what I said, I scratch my head sometimes and I say, what were you thinking when you said that? It's a topic that is somewhat controversial. It is a dispensational topic. Now, what I'm not going to do today is I'm not going to go back to Israel's program. We're not going to go back and look at 40 verses from the Old Testament that talk about how sin separated Israel from God and how God wouldn't even hear from heaven unless they took care of their sins. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to look at verses in the Gospels where Jesus is talking about whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, it shall be done for you. We know and understand dispensationally that those sorts of prayers are part of God's program with Israel, okay? And what has happened historically is that a lot of the teaching about prayer in dispensational circles has focused a lot on trying to say what prayer isn't and very light on trying to explain to the positive about what prayer is. And I mentioned at the end of the message 2 weeks ago that it's always easier to make negative arguments than it is to make positive arguments. Negative arguments are arguments that explain why something isn't true, where a positive argument would be trying to explain why something is true or why something is the case. And it's always easier to argue to the negative than it is to the positive. So we're going to look at prayer this morning, and I'm going to say some things about it. And I'm just going to, I have basically a page, both sides of stuff that I want to say about it. And I also have a few things I'm going to put up on the overhead here in a few minutes. But let's get right into this. Continue in prayer. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The first thing that you need to notice in verse 2 is that the verb continue is, and I'm going to be technical just for a second and then I'm going to explain it, okay? The verb continue is in the present tense, the active voice, and the imperative mood. It's in the present tense. Is prayer something you should be doing now? Okay? It's in the active voice. Is it something that every believer should be involved in? Yes. And it's in the imperative mood, so is it yet another command that we've seen here? Now, I don't have the list, and I'm not going to put it on the overhead today, but if you went back to chapter 3, verse 1, and you came all the way down to chapter 4 now, verse 2, there are 17 imperative statements that Paul makes to the body of Christ throughout all of chapter 3 and the first two verses now of chapter 4. So the statement to continue in prayer is an imperative command. It is another one of these statements. which means Paul is commanding the Colossians to continue praying. Now, that's an interesting statement. Notice the verse, continue in prayer. That is not a verse telling them to begin prayer or to start praying or to commence something that they haven't already been doing. The command there is for them to do what? To continue. So does Paul assume when he writes the statement that the Colossians have already been involved in what? In prayer, right? It's assumed in the command that they've already been doing this, that they've already been praying. His exhortation, his command, is for them to continue to what? Continue to do it, to continue to pray. So the way the command is worded implies, as I just said, that the Colossians had already been praying. They'd already been involved in prayer before they received this. So put another way, the command is not for them to begin something or to commence something. It's not for them to begin to do something that they haven't already been doing. It's for them to continue doing something that they were already doing, that they were already involved with. And the specific thing there, obviously, is prayer. Now, it's interesting when you think about Colossians. Go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. This is not the first time that prayer is mentioned in the book of Colossians. But when we look at the previous occurrences, it's very clear that Paul is, in the first two occurrences, I'll just say it this way, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Notice what it says. We give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So in that verse, who's doing the praying? Paul is doing the praying, right? Paul is doing the praying for who? For them, right? For the Colossians. Look at verse 9. It's also Paul, it'd be Paul and Timothy, by the way, in the context, but verse 9. For this cause, we also, Paul and Timothy, since the day we heard it, do not cease to do what? To pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the subject matter of prayer is mentioned in the book of Colossians before we get to chapter 4. But in chapter 1, who is the one doing the praying? It's Paul and Timothy, right? And Paul and Timothy are praying for who? They're praying for the saints of Colossae, right? They're praying for the believers that are in this local assembly within the city of Colossae. Come back to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 is a verse about prayer, but it's not about Paul praying for them. It's about their prayer life. It's about them praying. And he says again in chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. So the assumption is, again, that the Colossians are already what? Praying. So the command and the admonition here is for them to continue to do something that they have already been what? Involved in, that they have already been doing. So Paul takes for granted, now this is an interesting thing to think about, at least it is for me. Paul takes for granted the fact that the Colossians have already been active in prayer. Therefore, the command is for them to continue doing so, to continue in that. Now, I don't want anyone to raise their hands because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but I have to ask, are we continuing in prayer? If Paul were to write us as a local church, would he be saying, you guys need to start praying, or would he be saying, you guys need to continue in what? In prayer. And I think it's an interesting thing to think about because one of the things I've heard said, and I probably said it myself, I'm sure somebody can dig it up on the internet, me saying it, is that when somebody comes to understand the word rightly divided, that one of the first things that suffers is their prayer life. Okay? That is not something that we should be proud of, folks. That's not something that we should be, you know, rattling sabers about and proud that that's the case. Now, I do think that it is the case to some degree, and I think it's the case for a few reasons. Reason number one is, most of us learn to pray by listening to other people pray. Our parents, people in church, those kinds of things, right? Especially when it comes to the issue of corporate prayer, most of us learn to pray by listening to other people, right? Then those people that we've listened to pray, they might not have had a very good understanding of the Word of God, and they might be praying certain things that maybe aren't so great to say. All right? At least what I'm saying in that statement is from a dispensational point of view. God has already forgiven me all of my sin in Jesus Christ. I don't need to clear away any sin to get God to hear me. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm forgiven. And does He hear me as a believer every time I pray to Him, every time I talk to Him? So any teaching about prayer that says you have to clear off the sin deck, so to speak, before God will hear you, that's not a good teaching about prayer. Because that's not consistent with who you are as a member of the body of Christ. That's consistent with somebody that had been living under the law. Right? So then when somebody comes to understand something about the word rightly divided, one of the first things they realize is, well, there's all these prayers that I've been saying, and they're all out of the Gospels, or they're all out of the Old Testament, etc. And so then there does become some questions about this issue. But for us to take the questions that we have and now say, well, you know, we should not be wearing as a badge of honor the idea that, well, you know, when you come to understand the word rightly divided, your prayer life suffers, because Paul, our apostle, does he have a lot to say about the issue of prayer? Hold your hand there and come with me to Romans chapter 12. Come with me to Romans chapter 12. He says in Colossians 4:2 there to continue in prayer. Look at Romans 12. So my point in telling you those things a moment ago was just to acknowledge that there is a reality of that, but we need to move past that then into a positive understanding about what prayer is. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in trouble. Now notice the way this says this. Continuing. Now what is that? What is the statement in Colossians 4:2? To continue in prayer, he just says in Colossians 4:2. But look what he says to the Romans here in Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. To continue instant in prayer means that you can pray at any time and for any reason, right? It's an instant thing. If you think about it, if you can think about it, you can talk to God about it, you can let your request be made known unto God about it, you can do it anytime, anywhere, at any place you are as a member of the body of Christ. You have unbroken, uninterrupted access to the throne of grace because of who you are in Jesus Christ, right? And Paul wanted the Romans to continue instant in what? In prayer. Does that sound to you like something that he wanted for them to have great anxiety about and great care over and struggle and wonderment? Is it okay for me to pray about my finances? Is it okay for me to pray about my health? Is it okay for me to pray about, you know, Uncle Fred and Grandma Tilly? Is it okay for me to do that? He's just saying continuing instant in what? Prayer. So there's an instant nature to this. You know, I've used this illustration before, and I think it works. You know, you have, at the store, you could go buy some instant oatmeal. Right? So what do? You just add the water, chuck it in the microwave, hit the button, and in a minute and a half, you have what? Oatmeal. Versus old-fashioned oatmeal that you have to cook and stir and go through the whole nine yards with and all this sort of thing, right? Your prayer life should be something that you're continuing instant in, right? It should be something that is a close friend to you, if I could put it that way. It's instant. It's continuing instant in prayer. Come to Ephesians 6. Come to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We'll come back to this verse probably later on. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Notice what it says. Praying once in a blue moon. Is that what it says? Praying when all your sins are confessed. No. Praying how often? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is not something that you have to like get into the Spirit, right? Do you have the Spirit as a believer? Does He indwell you? Does He seal you under the day of redemption? Chapter 5 talked about that. Ephesians chapter 1 talked about how you're given the Holy Spirit as the earnest of your inheritance unto the day of redemption. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now watch. And watching thereunto, we'll talk about that in a minute, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How often should I be praying according to that verse? Always. So if I'm always praying, and now Paul comes along and he says, continue in prayer, what's he commanding me to do? He's commanding me to continue to do something that I'm already what? That I'm already doing, that I've already been instructed to do. Come to Philippians chapter 4. Come over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Again, we'll be back at this verse later on. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? Now, just read that verse, okay? Does that verse make it sound to you like you can't pray for certain things? In fact, it says the exact opposite, right? What does it say? It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? So if something is bothering you with the kids, or something is bothering you on the job, or something is bothering you in the assembly, or in your family, or in your finances, or whatever it is, if it's on your mind, if it's something that's causing you care, worry, and anxiety, what should you do about it? Pray about it. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Interesting. Pray without what? Ceasing. It's amazing to me there's these little statements, right? Romans 12, 12, continuing, instant in what? Prayer, right? Three words, continuing, instant in prayer. Well, four words. I can't count most of the time. Continuing, instant in prayer. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Praying without what? Ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying how often? Always. Verse 17. Praying without ceasing in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? So prayer. Come back to Colossians chapter 4. Prayer is vital to your Christian life. Prayer is a vital component of your Christian life and walk as you go through this life. So, can you guys bring up the tablet for me, please? Prayer is a vital part of what's going on. And, you know, then that raises questions about, okay, well then what exactly constitutes prayer? So, do I have to bow and get on my knees? Is that what prayer is? Well, it can be. Paul says in Ephesians that he bowed his knee before God the Father, right, when he prayed. So that could be prayer. But if you're going to pray without ceasing, if you're going to be instant in prayer, if you're going to be always praying, then the issue isn't so much the posture that you take. The issue isn't so much are you, you know, folding your hands and closing your eyes and bowing your head and are you on your knees, etc. You can do those things when you pray. And I would almost say to you that maybe you should sometimes do those things when you pray, right? But prayer doesn't always have to be that. Prayer can also be what Paul says in these verses right here. Okay? If I can get this thing to work. We're not going to turn to all these. I've just put them up here for you so that we can go through them relatively quickly, right? Notice he says, to make what? Mention. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, again he says, making what? Mention. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Philippians 1, 3, he says, upon every remembrance of you. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, again he says, making what? Mention. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, remembrance. And then making mention. Now look, folks, think about what those verses are saying. Those verses are saying that if you think about somebody, If somebody comes to your mind, if there's another member of the body of Christ or a circumstance or a situation or something comes to your mind and you have the mental thought process of thinking about that, do you have the ability in that moment, in that process, to be praying about that person, that circumstance, that situation, without going through a whole entire religious rigmarole, right? Not that, again, taking certain postures when you pray is wrong or bad or evil or whatever, but prayer doesn't have to be that. Prayer can be as simple as a remembrance coming to your mind and you bringing that person up and you making mention of them in your prayer to God. So I could be going through my life and, you know, I don't know, Dave Reed comes to mind, and can I offer a quick prayer to the Lord for Dave Reed? Right? Or some other saint or some other person, right? Some other situation or circumstance. And don't you know that's the way your life usually works anyway? How many of you have ever been doing something over here, totally thinking about working on something else, and the situation with somebody way over there comes into your mind? Right? Well, in that moment, while you're doing this thing and that came into your mind, can you pray about that? So prayer is related then to an unbroken, unrestricted access to God Almighty that is always there, that is always on, that is always available, that you always have access to. When you think about things, when things come to your mind, you have the ability to make mention of people in your prayers. Now think about Paul for a minute. How many people and churches and things going on were there in Paul's life? A lot. Right? A lot. I don't even want to a lot. Way more probably than I have to deal with, way more probably than you have to deal with, and yet when he writes under inspiration, can you guys bring that back up? When he writes under inspiration, these are the kind of statements that he makes. He makes statements about what? Making mention, about thinking of them. These kinds of things. But there's a book that I read that calls these breath prayers. In other words, the thought's there, all you have to do is what? Breathe it, and prayer should be that instant. Prayer should be that continuous for you as a believer. That's what Paul's saying when he talks about praying without ceasing. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about being instant in prayer and praying always. Now, what we do is, what we like to do, or what we have often done, is we've come in with now religious understandings of prayer. I say, well, prayer is what you do when you're in the church. Prayer is what you do when these conditions are met, then you can what? You know, you name it, right? Do people come in and do they sort of gum up the works on this thing? And that just seems to me to be the way, unfortunately, things have gone. Now come back with me to Colossians chapter 4. Folks, let me just say it this way. If you have spent more time this past week watching news and reading news and consuming news than you have spent praying to God Almighty, things are upside down in that situation. They're upside, and I'm not trying to say this from the point of view of religious legalism. I'm trying to say it from the point of view of you and I and us being able to experience and enjoy the peace of God. Do we already have peace with God because of who we are in Christ? Yes, we do. But do we allow things and situations and circumstances and current events and this and that and everything else, Michigan losing when they're up 16? That one's for you, Mark. Mark texts me and he goes, I'm done with Harbaugh. Anyway, back to reality. All that stuff, does all that stuff fill up the space in your mind, in your thinking, and if you're not careful, you'll go a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, consumed with nothing else but the course of this world. And all the while we have, in the Word of God, these statements about prayer, about continuing in prayer, being instant in prayer, praying always, praying without ceasing, and they're there for us. Now go back to Colossians 4, look at the next part of verse 2. Continuing in prayer, now watch what it says, and watch. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's two issues there, folks. There's the continuing in prayer, number one. And then number two, in the second half, there's a watching there unto, right? Verse two, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, so I need the tablet one more time, please, or at least for right now. And we need to look at, that's too small, isn't it? Some of you can handle that. I'm still learning about what the best way to do this is. But look at what some of this stuff is here in the definition. So this is a verb here, by the way. So if you look up the word watch in the dictionary, there's noun forms of the verb and, or sorry, noun forms of the word and verb forms of the word. We're looking at verbs here because he says continue in prayer and watch in the same. To watch, there's intransitive and transitive verbs. We're not going to get into all the difference between those things. This isn't an English class, but notice what it says. It says, number one, that it's to, it says, the first thing is that it's to be awake. It says to be attentive, to look with attention or steadiness. It's the idea of to look with expectation, to keep, to guard, to act as a sentinel and a lookout for danger. Folks, prayer in your life, prayer in my life is not just this nebulous, airy-fairy thing that you do. It's a functional thing that you do in your life as it helps to set a watch over your mind. It helps it to be a sentinel. It helps to be a watchman, a guard, something that is there where you are constantly talking and communing with God the Father because you are instant in it, you're continuing in it, you're praying always, you're praying without ceasing, and the effect of that then is to set a watch. Now, there's an issue here about watch that I want to look at a little bit. Come with me to Acts 20. Come with me back to Acts chapter 20. Just a few things about the word watch. In this context, Paul has called a meeting with the Ephesian elders. And he says some things here to them that I want us to note. Acts 20. We'll just start at verse 27. Paul tells him, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Then there's a warning in verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this," Paul says, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto them." So what's he warning them about? He's warning them about the fact that is deception and false doctrine and heresy going to come? Okay? And then notice what he says in the next verse. Verse 31. "Therefore, do what? Watch." What are the elders in that local church there in Ephesus supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be on the watch. They're supposed to be on guard against false teaching. They're supposed to be, heeding to the flock, as he said earlier in the passage, right? What does a shepherd do with the sheep? He watches. And when he watches, what is he watching for? He's watching for danger. He's watching for wolves. He's watching for bear, for lions. He's watching for those that would come in and wreak havoc on the flock, right? And then Paul says in verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with what?" See, what the idea of watching is to be on the lookout. It's to be on guard, right? Come with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 16. Come over to 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 12. "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time." Verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Now, I'm showing you verses about what the word watch means. Come over to back to Ephesians 6. Come back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We already read this verse, but let's note something else about this verse. Praying how often again? Always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And what's the next word? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Believers are to be watching in prayer. Not only for themselves, but also for the other saints. For the other members of the local church. For the other members of the body of Christ. So there's a continuing issue in prayer, and there's a watching issue in prayer. Where prayer is part of you and I watching out, not only for ourselves, but also for who? Each other. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto is watching unto prayer. That's what he's saying. With all perseverance. We need perseverance in prayer. How many times do we pray about something one time? It doesn't go quite the way you want it to or think it should. And you're like, nah, I'll do it myself. I got it. I can handle it. I'll take care of it. I can handle this situation, manage this situation. I can handle this in my own flesh, in my own ability, in my own strength, right? And instead of persevering in prayer, instead of acting by faith in God's word, we just sort of, let it slide, and we try to take it up for ourselves. That's not what the verse says. It says, "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." For who? All saints. Folks, one of the things that I have come to realize is that we need to be a church that prays for each other. Not just, David, he did a fine job going through the bulletin and reading the prayer requests, but are those things just things then that go away? You don't think about them again? Hang on, I forgot something. That you don't think about them again until the next Sunday? Again, I'm not trying to put anybody under the law, but I'm trying to talk straight to you about the issue of prayer and why prayer is important. Don't turn there, but write down, if you're taking notes, write down 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the word translated watching is translated in that verse as vigilant. Vigilant. What's it mean to watch? It means to be vigilant. Go back to Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same. To watch in the same is a reference to prayer in the first half of the verse. So, we are to use prayer according to what Paul's saying, not only in this verse, but also in Ephesians 6, verse 18. We're to use prayer to set a watch over our lives. Folks, the course of this world is unrelenting. It is unremittent in the way it assails our minds. So there's a watching element in prayer that Paul is talking about here. We'll continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The course of this world is unrelenting. It's attacked upon our minds. Again, if you go week to week, Sunday to Sunday, month to month, year to year, and you are more concerned about MSNBC and CNN and Breitbart and Fox News and American Thinker and all the stuff, and on and on and on, all the way down the line, and you're more worried about that and memes on Facebook and what so-and-so said in their YouTube video and all of this stuff, and you're more worried about that than you are about the issue of prayer and watching over your mind when it comes to this issue, then we seriously need to look at our priorities. And I, let me be very clear with you. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody else. Because through the pandemic and everything that has happened, one of the things that I have learned is that prayer is absolutely vital and essential, and that I need to be praying more, not less. Not more in the sense of a qualitative, quantitative thing where I haven't measured up because I haven't prayed enough. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding that I have access and ability, and the Spirit's already in me, and I just, if something's bothering me, I just need to what? Just need to pray about it, right? You can't control what the government's gonna do. You can control how you think about it and whether or not you pray about it. Whatever those knuckleheads are going to do, they're going to do. You can't control that. You can control what goes on here. And you have this and the indwelling Holy Spirit to help you do it. And if there's no, if you don't have the peace of God, I'll talk to you about it in a minute here, it's because you're thinking on the wrong things. There's a watching. And then it says in the verse, a watch in the same with what? Let me just be clear about it, because I say stuff sometimes and people, I think, misunderstand me. I have my own issues with what's going on. Okay? It's not like I don't have my own thoughts. It's not like I don't have my own feelings about what I look around and see happening around me, right? But what I do know is that if I focus on that stuff gives me nothing but anger and bitterness and resentment and hatred. And it takes me away from loving my wife and loving my family and focusing on the ministry. It's not like I live in a vacuum where I don't see what's going on or have thoughts about what's going on. But what I'm saying is when we make that the priority, we have major issues. We have major issues that we are neglecting right in front of our faces that we can control or have say over. With thanksgiving, with once again here, look at the verse. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Once again, we see the importance of thanksgiving when it comes to the issue of prayer. Go back to chapter 2. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 7. Rooted. Built up in Him. Well, verse 6 says, you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord. So what? Walk ye in Him. Verse 7, rooted, and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye've been taught, abounding therein with what? You know what happens when you're in the media too much? And you're seeing all this stuff and you're fixated on it? You become ungrateful. You have ingratitude for all that God has done for you through Christ. And you become bitter and angry, etc. We should be abounding with what? Folks, listen to me, and I'm going to say this, and if it makes somebody mad, I apologize. But when somebody looks at your Facebook feed, what do they see? Do they see, first and foremost, an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Or do they see a political advocate advocating for a political agenda? What do they see? Now, I have political beliefs. I have things that I think about things. But I keep those things largely to myself in public settings, because the thing I care more about is lost people getting saved and spending eternity with God Almighty. It's an eternal separation. And you have to make the issue the issue. What's he say? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I am telling you, as sure as you are sitting in that seat, when you go off into all that stuff, you become unthankful, you have ungratitude, and you become a miserable person to be around. And when people see you coming, all they think about, oh great, here comes so-and-so, and they're just going to tell me about blah. You're not being a helper of anyone's joy at that point. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There it is. Let it. The choice is yours whether or not you're going to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do you already have peace with God because you're in Christ? Yes. But now, in the daily functioning and practicality of life, he says, let, in that verse. Which verse was, I don't even remember what verse I was in. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in the heart, in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye one. We should be known as the most thankful, most great, most gratitude-filled, gracious people that anybody ever runs into. Verse 17, same chapter, chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We should be characterized as saints by our thanksgiving, by our gratitude. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Put something in here, because we'll come back when I close. Prayer is part of that watch that we set, and it's to be done with thanksgiving. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Get 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 17. We already read verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without what? Ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus. Concerning you. Do you understand that no matter what the government or anybody tells you to do, they cannot change who you are in Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? Do you understand that no matter what they do or ask you to do or whatever, that your completeness in Christ is not affected one iota? And so there's always the ability to, in everything, what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Folks, our hope is not in the political stuff anyway. I'll tell you where the political stuff is going. It is going to a hard confrontation with the God of the universe, who's going to come back, and it's not going to get any better until He comes back, gets rid of all things that offend, and establishes a kingdom where His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules on this earth. And you know what? Even then, there's going to be knuckleheads that rebel against His rule and His authority. Go read Revelation. Our hope is not in fixing political structures run by sinful men. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God, I already know God's will for me. I don't need to go out here and try to find it. I know what it is, because I'm supposed to be giving thanks in what? And let me tell you something, I'll be the first to tell you, I'll stand at the front of the line, I'll wave my arms up in the air, and I'll say, I am not always doing what that verse says. And I don't think you are either. So do we have something already that we know we need to pray for each other about? We need to pray for each other that we'll all, by faith, obey and do what God's Word says to us through our apostle, which is to, in everything, give what? Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving, what's the next word? Thanks. Always, now see, here's the hard part of that verse. For what? For how many things? It doesn't say for those things that the government does that you like. It doesn't say that. It says for what? All things. So there's the instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5 to give thanks in all things. And there's the instruction here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, to give thanks for what? all things. Now look, folks. Verses like this are going to test what you really think is most important in your life. God's Word will do that. There are things, let me tell you something, I'm just going to complain personally for a minute as a way of illustrating, okay? Since September, the whole family has had COVID. I found out the head gasket on my car was bad. It was going to cost $6,000 to fix it when I still owed $6,000 on the car. We went on a trip, which we had a great time on. We're not home 2 hours, and not going to mention any names, but somebody in the family runs the van into a log in the road and messes up the front end when we just paid it off the week before. Then we have all of the stuff that we have to do, that I have to do, and we have to do. I'm not complaining about it, to get ready for the conference. We have the conference. We're exhausted. I'm driving to pick up Daniel from basketball practice on Wednesday, and he calls me, and he blows out his knee. And then we wake up yesterday morning, and Andrew's sick. And I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world? Like, what else is going to go wrong? And I'm like trying to, you know, cringe while I say it. But you have those things in your life where you're like, what? Can anything else go wrong? And the answer is yes, it can. All right? But then I'm studying and I'm going to these verses and I'm mad and I'm angry and my emotions are going inside of me because I'm upset about all this stuff. And then I go to this verse and there it is. And for everything, give thanks. You understand what I'm saying? In everything, give thanks. So, do we really believe God's Word? I believe that we do, or you wouldn't be here, right? But in the details, in the practicality of life, we need to be more concerned with what this book says than with what anybody else says. Go to Philippians 4 and I'll close. Paul instructs, Philippians 4:6, look at the first phrase, be careful for what? Be careful for how many things, it says. Nothing. Would that include prayer? If you're to be careful for nothing, would that include the very subject matter issue of prayer itself? I mentioned this to you 2 weeks ago and a few people raised their hands and I don't need to see a big hand raising, but how many of you have ever had anxiety and care and worry about prayer? Afraid, maybe even. Am I praying for the wrong things? Am I asking for the wrong stuff? Am I praying in the wrong manner? Am I supposed to be praying for physical things and finances and sick friends and family, et cetera, this and that, right? Read the verse. Be careful for nothing but in what? Wait a minute. How many things? Everything. God gave us prayer as the way to deal with our anxieties, with our worries, with our care. To not have to bear them ourselves, to not have to carry them ourselves, to not have to try to feel like we're doing everything under our own power, our own strength, our own ability, but to make our requests be made known unto who? Verse says, be careful for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto who? God gave us prayer as a method and a mechanism for dealing with our anxiety. We should not be full of care and worry and anxiety about the very thing that God gave us to deal with those things. Everything in your life is fair game when it comes to what? Prayer. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let me tell you something that I've sort of learned. What's the only way you can screw prayer up? It's to not do it. The only way you can screw prayer up is to just not what? Just not pray. You can pray anytime, anywhere you are, about anything that's on your heart or mind, no matter where you are, what's going on, whatever, whether it's your broken knee, your stupid broken car, or, you know, the fact that you got to figure out how you're going to take care of the $6,000 blown head gasket on a car you still owe $6,000 on, right? You should be praying and can pray about all of that stuff. The only way to mess it up is to not what? To not do it. But then you have verse 7. And the peace of who? Of God. Which passeth all understanding. So keep your hearts and minds through who? Folks, whatever is happening in prayer is beyond my ability to understand. It passes what? Understanding. So I'm sort of, this is just me personally, I'm like over trying to figure it out. And I'm just to the point where I just need to do it. And through doing it, learn what prayer is about. And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then somebody says, well, Pastor, I prayed about it, and it didn't work. It didn't work. I still have worry, care, anxiety, you know, all the stuff that was bothering me before I prayed. I still have all that stuff. Well, if that's you, I would just direct you to the next verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Folks, there's one thing I know for sure anymore in this world, and that the only thing that I know for sure is true is this book. That's it. I know logically that everything I hear out there in the public space, it all can't be true. Why? Because it contradicts itself. And there's this little thing in logic called the laws of non-contradiction and excluded middle that says that things that are different can't be what? The same. So then I got this person barking at me about A, and I got this person over here barking at me about B, and they're both saying the exactly opposite things about the same thing. I know they both can't be what? Right. I know they both can't be true. The only thing that I know for sure is true is this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I hate to say it, but if you think everybody in the media on the right or the left is being honest, you got a problem. But see, if I'm thinking about that stuff, so I'm upset about something the government's doing, and so I go up, oh Lord, they're doing this and they're doing that, oh, I'm so upset, right? And then you go back and the first thing you do is you switch that thing back on. Well, no wonder you're back to where you were, because you're not thinking about what's true and just and lovely and of good report. You're putting the same stuff back in your mind that made you full of care, worry, and anxiety in the first place. Verse 10, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Where are you going to find true and honest and just and pure? The Word of God. Look at the next one, and lovely. I haven't seen anything really lovely in the news lately. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these what? Where should your mind be as a believer? It should be on what's right, what's true, what's just, what's lovely, what's honest, what's of a good report. When we keep our minds focused on what's true and honest and just and lovely, a good report, what's virtuous and praiseworthy, the battlefield really is in your mind. Therefore, Paul says to be renewing your what? Mind. And a huge component in the renewing of your mind is prayer. So what's my advice about prayer? Pray often, pray about everything, and don't worry about prayer. Prayer should not be a source of worry, stress, and so forth in your life, because prayer is what God gave you to deal with that very issue. When you pray, you stop trying to carry everything yourself. You seek the Lord for His guidance. You pray for yourself. You pray for the saints. You pray for anything and everything in your life. You pray instant. You continue in prayer. You watch in the same with thanksgiving. And you pray with perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's really simple. You either pray or you don't. And if you don't, that's the only way you mess it up. You following that? Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for this opportunity that we've had to look into your word and to think about and talk about the issue of prayer. Pray that it'll be encouraging and edifying to those who have listened, whether they be here in person or they be watching remotely on internet or in social media. We're grateful for that. Lord, we do pray. Help us have the right perspective. Help us to see prayer the way that you see prayer, the way that you talk about prayer in your word. Help us to realize that we don't have anything standing between us and God, that we're complete in Christ, that we're in your Son, and that He is in us. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ and for those who have come out, and we just pray they'll be edified for having done so. We ask this in Christ.